I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour writes in the current issue of Mental Floss magazine, pulling off a truly legendary prank is hard. To fool the media, crowds, and even the military, you need patience, planning, and more than a little genius. But when everything comes together into one big victimless laugh, it's a thing of beauty. Here are history's greatest hoaxes, each one proof that with effort and a little luck, you can fool a lot of the people all of the time. The 14 Greatest Hoaxes in History, Mental Floss cover story, How to Fool the World, this hour. And I'm sure you'll have a few to add to those that we talk about. Adam Raymond is contributing writer for Mental Floss magazine. Our phone number for you to join this conversation is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And Adam, we thank you very much for being with us. Hello.
Hello, thanks for having me, Kathleen.
Yeah, so are you a prankster?
I wouldn't call myself much of a prankster. I think I don't really have the little bit of a meanness in me.
Ah.
To really trick people.
Ah, so it requires a little bit of meanness, huh?
I think it might take a little bit of a willingness to see other people make a fool of themselves.
That's right. People can be pretty gullible, can't they? I've told this story. Let's go all over the place with these, not necessarily in order, but some of them are just absolutely wonderful. Starting with the story, I love it when people make things up off the top of their heads. The story of April Fool's Day, the guy who gave an answer that was off the top of his head that was made up and everybody believed it.
Yeah, that was a great one. Apparently what happened in AP Reporter was just sort of on the hunt for the history of April Fools and got a hold of a PR person, I think it was, at BU who passed them on to a professor, and the professor had no idea about the history but was getting pestered and eventually just made up some nonsensical story about ancient Rome and jesters, and the AP ran it, and everyone else ran it, and the one thing I really like about this story that shows up in a lot of other ones is when the professor was making up the story, he tried to make it so absurd that anyone could tell it wasn't true,
right.
And as in most cases, that didn't work.
Is it because he was a professor? I mean, one of the common threads in these stories is that people are fairly prestigious people, many of them, who are making up the stories, so of course you'd have to believe them.
Right, yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. You see the title, you see the university, and especially, I think, a journalist who's eager to get the story down, they just run with it.
Right. Which of these stories really captured your fancy?
I really liked the one from Rolling Stone, which was where an editor at Rolling Stone made up a supergroup in the late 60s because he was tired of the supergroup trend, and he said Bob Dylan, Mick Jagger, John Lennon, and Paul McCartney were in it, and they wrote a fake review for the album, and again, he tried to make it so absurd by mentioning things like Bob Dylan's deep bass voice and 18-minute cover songs, but then Rolling Stone got letters from people who wanted to buy the album, and he took it to the next level by getting some unknown band to record an album and putting it out under the fake name of this supergroup. So it was really the dedication to that one, taking it that next step, that I really liked.
Yeah. What about the Bordello of Barks, a brothel for dogs, this professional prankster? And I just love this because somebody won an Emmy for coverage of this, and it was really a hoax.
Yeah, that one is especially wild. And again, like a dedication where this guy started with a newspaper ad that was a prank, and then once he got people believing it, that he was having a cat house for dogs, as he called it, then he put on a fake thing, and he had journalists come and see the actual cat house with actors and acting dogs, and that's what led to the Emmy.
The missing link. This one is fairly involved and must have involved a whole lot of work here. Ever since Darwin published On the Origin of Species, scientists have been looking for the missing link, this traditional fossil, and somebody provided it and went to great length to provide the missing link.
Yeah. A lot of these stories, like the April Fool's one and the band, I think there's some some humor and some fun trying to be had. But in the archaeological hoaxes, I think you run across people who are really trying to mislead. And in this case, this was in, I think it was 1912 in England. Someone had planted a skull that was purported to be the missing link between the earliest versions of man and what we have now, and everyone believed it. Well, not everyone, but enough people believed it that it was accepted.
Mm-hmm. H.L. Mencken put together this elaborate story, writing a history of the bathroom. I love your phrase here. The first thing he did was just scrub out all the facts.
This one is a fun one. I think he was just trying to have fun. He admitted later that he was just trying to be silly in a time of war. It was 1917, and he wrote a story about the neglected history of the bathtub, all of which he made up, and people bought it. And I think part of the reason why people bought this one was because it was such a mundane topic. I mean, why would anyone go to the trouble to make up a history of the bathtub? So surely it must be true. And that one really entered into the public's consciousness, and it was repeated over and over. There's a great detail in the story about how the Boston Herald ran a story debunking Mencken's history of the bathtub, and then a few weeks later cited his history of the bathtub in a completely different story, cited it as fact, which I really enjoy.
Why is it so hard to get the truth here? You even updated as far as 2008. It was featured in a Kia ad, which hailed Fillmore is best remembered as the first president to have a running water bathtub.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting that it's still around. I think it's just one of those fun presidential details that isn't actually a presidential detail. But that one has really had staying power, and I think it's still, as in that commercial, it's still repeated as often as it's debunked.
Yeah. Was H.L. Mencken, did he have a reputation as being a bit of a prankster himself?
Yeah, I think he did. He was a really smart guy and a writer, mm-hmm. and he liked to have fun with the public.
Also in the article, it says that he wanted to distract readers from World War I.
Yeah, which, you know, I imagine that World War I in 1917, that was on people's minds a lot. And, you know, maybe something as silly as the history of the bathtub could distract them. And maybe it distracted them more than he wanted it to, because rather than just being a little funny article they read, it became something they believed.
Mm-hmm. We're going to hear more of the stories in Mental Floss, and I have a hunch that many of you have examples of great pranks that were carried off as well. I've always thought that the War of the Worlds prank, which was kind of scary actually, was one of the biggest ones. It's not included, but we can talk about that, because I'm sure that our guest knows all about that, and maybe you can add to the list of the greatest hoaxes in history. Mental Floss cover story, How to Fool the World. Our phone number on air today is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. And we'll continue enjoying the conversation with contributing writer Adam Raymond, discussing the cover story from the current issue of Mental Floss magazine, How to Fool the World, History's Greatest Hoaxes. Back to the conversation in a moment. But first, we need to take just a few minutes to ask for your support of the programs that you enjoy, because listeners help pay the bills at Wisconsin Public Radio. We are in our winter membership drive. Dean Kallenbach is with me, and we're asking you to go to WPR.org or to call 888-202-2552 right now to make a gift in support of the programs that you count on.
First, thanks to the 38 folks who made a pledge last hour, and right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match, up to $2,000, and it's an extremely generous match. It's offered by a generous pair of supporters from Madison. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So get your pledge doubled right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may find yourself hovering near the radio, drawn into a great discussion. I'm sure that that happens to all of you. It happens to me frequently. Mm-hmm. And you need to get somewhere, but the discussion is so interesting. You appreciate the guest's knowledge and also the caller's questions and views. Because that has happened to you, that means it's time to make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, as fun as the author's comments are, I'm really looking forward to hearing what the listeners have to say on this topic of hoaxes. When you pledge $10 a month or more, you can choose food for 40 as your thank you gift. This is a thank you gift that will provide 40 mm-hmm. meals to those facing hunger and in your area. For more information about Food for 40 and to make a pledge, go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get unbiased news, high-quality entertainment, very informative talk, and great music. You really do get a rich experience no matter when you tune in.
And that's depth and breadth that's available thanks to listener contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Frequently when we're out speaking to listeners, one of the first things they say to us is, I'm a donor or I'm a member. And they say it with pride and a sense of shared purpose, like I'm in this with you.
Well, that's exactly. If you ask one of the donors why they give, they probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do. So much of what we do is a two-way conversation anyway, but when you're actually a person who's become a member, mm-hmm. you realize you're responsible not only for absorbing what you're hearing, but for making it happen. So help make great radio happen and enjoy that buzz that you get from it. It starts with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Robert Siegel of NPR News. When you become a sustaining member of WPR, you authorize affordable monthly contributions from your bank account or credit card. In turn, WPR is able to count on your support month after month. Stations around the country are finding that sustaining members are the core of a healthy station. So please become a sustainer to WPR right now. Thanks.
Yes, thank you so much. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Dean Kallenbach, and we're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift, $5, $10, or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Want to remind you?
Oops, let me get your mic.
That's all right. I want to remind you, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000 in effect right now, offered by a generous pair of supporters from Madison. Now, I know Kathleen's topic today is hoaxes, but this is
not a hoax.
Not a hoax. Your gift of $50 can be $100, $100 turns into $200. You get the idea. Take advantage of this match now and make your gift go even further in paying for WPR programs. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We ask you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Some give $5 a month. Some can give $100 or more.
And whatever it is, we use it to support our programs, keeping your source of information and entertainment going strong. Give now whatever amount is comfortable for you at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Join your friends and neighbors in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. It takes the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station as good as it can be.
And when you make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you're doing your part to make sure that the news and information you need is here every day.
And remember, this is a great hour to pledge because it's double your money, right?
Bet.
It's double your money, double your fun. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It is. $1 for a dollar match, still in effect. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far.
There are still some of us who know what commercial that was. When you give $120, that's $10 a month, you can get our Food for 40 thank you gift and provide meals to all those facing hunger in your area. It's a great way to do two good things at once with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you make your pledge, consider becoming a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews every year, and you'll pay your pledge in affordable monthly installments. It's easy to set up. It's a great way to make a lasting impact on WPR. You choose how to give, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Trudy from Madison, who pledged because, quote, I listen to WPR all the time and really love it.
All right. Thank you so much, Trudy. And everybody, thanks for all of your pledges. We need you. We need you to pledge because you're so important to the financial future and present of this marvelous facility. We are going to go to phone calls in just a moment. We're talking about great hoaxes in American history. Mental Floss has as their cover story, How to Fool the World. And we're asking you to add to that list, and we haven't even heard of that's all that's on the list. So we will continue that with our guest. And our guest is Adam Raymond, contributing writer for Mental Floss magazine. Our on-air phone number is 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls for Adam, and we start with Tom in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Hi. Good morning. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. What a fun program. It's a great topic. I just wanted to share a story I heard a number of years ago. It involved a couple of college students who were working out at Yellowstone Park during the summer, and they had to work under this really nasty park ranger. He was always riding their backs, you know, and he supposedly didn't like college kids at all. So after putting up with him all summer long, you know, they decided before they go back to school in September, they said, we got to get this guy somehow. What can we do? Well, they cooked up this storm, and this park ranger, one of the things that he did was he gave tours of Old Faithful. He took all the tourists around, and he had this whole spiel. He'd say, Old Faithful is a completely natural phenomenon. It's been going on for years. We don't know why it erupts. And, you know, they had his whole speech down pat, right?
Yeah.
So what they did is they got a piece of 3-foot pipe, I guess, and a big old wheel from someplace, a big steel wheel. And then one day when the park was giving his talk, just before Old Faithful was getting ready to erupt, they snuck in behind the crowd and they put this pipe in the ground. The other guy sets the wheel on top, and just before Old Faithful erupted, the guy, one of the students, yells out, he says, "Okay, Bob, let her go." And he starts cranking on this wheel, and the crowd turns around and sees these guys turning on what appears to be a big valve, and then Old Faithful shoots up, and the crowd just sort of turned on this park ranger. Yeah, right, you know, natural. And so that was their way of getting even with him.
That's a good story, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, that's a great one. I would enjoy the revenge hoax or prank, as this one may have been, but the idea of not, they weren't really getting the ranger. They were just making him look silly.
Exactly. Yeah. Why isn't War of the Worlds considered by many to be the biggest hoax in history in this issue of the magazine?
That's a good question. I think the number one reason is that we wanted to highlight some less well-known hoaxes,
right.
And that one is definitely very well-known. But I think another thing is that even though War of the Worlds did get so many people, they did, at the beginning of it, announce that it was not true, and then there were
right.
some announcements toward the end. That said, I know that they structured the program in such a way that when people were flipping from other more popular shows to this station, it would be at the time when it would most likely convince them that what they were listening to was real. So they wanted it both ways a little bit.
Yeah. Tom, thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Kenneth in Janesville. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. According to a Gallup poll from 2008, 26% of the baby boomers in Milwaukee believe that the Flintstones is a documentary.
Oh, come on. Are you serious? Are you serious? Or is that a hoax? Have you ever heard that before, Adam?
I certainly haven't. No, I wonder if the caller is hoaxing us.
Are you trying to hoax us, Kenneth? Kenneth is gone, leaving the question dangling. I think he may be. I think he may be.
I like his style.
I do, too. I do, too. Little humor ain't going to hurt nobody. The world's, this is a great story, too. The trashy sensation, Naked Came the Stranger. Can you tell us about the compilation of that book and the whole talk show circuit? It's an incredible story.
Yeah, that was a story that came from a journalist in, I believe it was New Jersey, named Mike McGrady. He was disillusioned with the state of the modern bestseller and set out to create a parody of it by getting together a bunch of his writer friends and having each person write a chapter of basically just the smuttiest, worst novel they could possibly conceive of, and then he would make it even worse. And so they did this, and he found a publisher, and then he got his sister-in-law to pose as the writer. And she went on talk shows, and there were articles written about her. And the idea of this suburban housewife who had written this very smutty book was one that people ate up. And the book was huge and sold, I think it was 20,000 copies before the hoax was revealed.
20,000 copies. And this woman, who was this Penelope Ash? She was, they made her into a person, even though she wasn't real, and she went on talk shows, too? Is that right?
Yeah, they made her, I think the idea there was to make the author a pretty suburban woman who seemed innocent, seemed like anyone who you might see in the supermarket, and then she was writing just this terrible book, and I'm guessing that the people on the talk shows, the hosts and the producers of those shows, they all bought the story because they booked her, and she was out there and she was pitching the book. But another great thing about this story is after it was revealed as a hoax, it went on to sell even more copies than it had before. That idea made it even more popular.
Mm. And it was on the New York Times bestseller list for 13 weeks.
Yeah, and the journalist behind it, Mike McGrady, he, I think he was happy with its success, but also a little disillusioned that what he tried to create as the worst book ever was selling tens of thousands of copies.
Well, I would imagine. I just want to remind our listeners that we're in this winter pledge drive, and so we have a couple, well, we want to laugh and have some fun this hour, but we also would like to raise some money, and we have one of those rare hours where some generous donors in Madison are doubling the amount of money. So if, you know, you get, you want to give us $120, then they'll give money too. And so it doubles your money. You know what I'm saying? Double your money. $50 pledge would really be $100. Simple as that, and a very good thing, and very rare. And I'm serious about this. This is not a hoax. This is very serious. Very serious. Can't tell you how serious this is. So please go to WPR.org so you can laugh and pledge at the same time. 888-202-2552 is the pledge number. Let's go to Bob in Appleton. Hello, Bob. Bob, are you there?
I'm not hearing you. Are you there?
We're here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Incidentally, that Naked Came the Stranger thing reminded me that when I was in college, before that book was even written, I sent a letter to a publishing company saying I was writing a book called Thunder Love, and would they publish it? And the idea was to get four or five of my fraternity brothers to join in it. And they bought it. They wanted to buy the book. But we never went through with it. And then when Naked Came the Stranger came out, I wished I had. Anyway, I had two comments. One was, there was a writer 70 years ago, named H. Allen Smith. I don't know if anybody remembers him. He wrote a book called Rhubarb, which was a famous story about a cat that owned a baseball team. But he also wrote a book called, it was about The Complete Practical Joker. And it was had just about a dozen or more practical jokes that were quite famous. And it was a really interesting book. That was pretty pretty popular, but a long time ago. And the other practical joke that I think was a stitch was the Statue of Liberty in Lake Mendota.
Oh, what's that one?
I don't know.
You've heard of that? You haven't heard of that?
No.
The student group made the top half of the Statue of Liberty, just the head, the shoulders,
right.
The book,
yeah.
And the torch.
Yeah.
And in the middle of winter, went out in the middle of Lake Mendota, just off the Armory and the Union, and planted it out there. And this was a big statue. It was probably 15, 20 feet high, almost the same size as the real Statue of Liberty, but just from the shoulders up, sitting out on the ice. And it looked like it was in the lake. And it's been frozen into the lake.
When was this, Bob?
Oh, late 70s.
Oh.
I bet there are other listeners who remember that.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Pictures all over the... It was a national story.
Huh.
About the Statue of Liberty in Lake Mendota.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks so much for your call.
Sure.
Our number, by the way, is 800-486-8655. And we're talking about the world's greatest hoaxes. Mental Floss magazine has a story, a cover story, actually, in this month's issue about greatest hoaxes. And we're listening to some of yours as well. Our guest is Adam Raymond, contributing writer for Mental Floss magazine. Have we talked about this one? I don't know if we've talked about this one or not. The missing link in fossil history, which is a pretty elaborate hoax that was attributed to, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle? Is that how I recall it?
We did talk about it, but he's one of the suspects. That's one of the hoaxes that that no one quite knows who pulled it off. There's a pretty wide-held belief that it was the guy who was most involved with it, who was this archaeologist named Charles Dawson.
Oh.
But he had, like, a archaeologist group, and Arthur Conan Doyle was a part of that group. So there's been some speculation that he had something to do with it, especially because he had later written about the idea of forging fake bones. And that's a fun one because you have the guy who created history's greatest fictional detective who is perhaps behind this unsolved mystery. But yeah, the unsolved ones are especially fun because we just don't know.
Yeah. More phone calls we'll take momentarily. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Dean Kallenbach in our Milwaukee studios, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive, when we ask you to think about how much all of the programs that you listen to throughout the year are worth to you, and then make a financial contribution in return at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That dollar-for-dollar match that's available this hour is still in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge, because for every dollar you give, a generous pair of supporters from Madison has pledged to donate an additional dollar. It's their way of encouraging you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We usually don't give our opinions on the air, but when we talk about Wisconsin Public Radio, we make an exception. We're not afraid to say that we think WPR is a unique radio service, a service well worth your support. So please take a moment to voice your opinion right now, making a pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if that's not reason enough, make yourself feel extra good when you donate to WPR this pledge drive. Give $10 a month or more, and as your thank you gift, 40 meals will be provided to those in need through area food banks. Just choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift when you pledge at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to live in a big city to have access to everything the world has to offer, because we go out and rein the world in and bring it to you. You get it right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yep, doesn't matter if you live in Menominee, Mellon, Muscadet, Menasha, Merrill, Malvina, Monroe, Madison, or Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you're in the global public square, hearing from artists, reporters, and experts at the forefront of their fields. Because you appreciate this access to the best the world has to offer, make a pledge of support to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One way to pay your pledge is by making ongoing monthly installments, $10 a month directly from your bank account. And once it's set up, your membership will automatically renew and you don't have to think about it again.
We call that being a sustaining member, and it's really a great way for you to keep showing your support as we go along. And it saves paper. It's easy. Cost-effective choice, because it means your pledge goes further. So as a sustainer, you automatically also are entered in all those sweepstakes and drawings we use to try to attract people to give. So there's really it's a no-lose situation. Start your sustaining membership right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio erases my prejudice, makes me feel connected to people all over our state. I'm impressed with their thoughtful remarks. I'm proud to be a Wisconsinite and have Wisconsin Public Radio in my life.
Go to WPR.org.
From Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Or you can call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Dean Kallenbach, asking for your support of WPR and thanking you really in advance for your gift, $5, $10, $30 a month, whatever amount is right for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Still a little time left to get involved in that dollar-for-dollar match, up to $2,000 in effect right now, offered by a generous pair of supporters from Madison. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further. Get your pledge match dollar-for-dollar right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part, but you enjoy listening to WPR year after year, so we really do need your continued support to keep this organization strong.
Been a while since you donated? Perfect time to rejoin.
Oh, yeah.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and we will be glad to have you back.
Don't put off donating to WPR. It takes just a few minutes to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think of that great feeling you'll have of supporting the programs you love. So don't put it off. Contribute right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you donate $120, I love this idea and this program. It's $10 a month. You can get our Food for 40 thank you gift and provide meals to those who are facing hunger in your area.
Think about becoming a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews each year. You'll pay your pledge in affordable monthly installments, easy to set up. Great way to make a lasting impact on WPR. You choose how to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Donate WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We thank you for your support of WPR. Tell me about you were the guy. We started talking about hoaxes in the office yesterday. Mm-hmm. You got a million hoax stories.
Oh, well, there are a few out there. Yeah, we've done some April Fool's tricks on each other through the years that have become... Well, it has everything to do with hoaxing that the FCC has taken away important documents, things like that. But don't do them to me.
Of course not. But you have to. The next time we see you, tell me the zombie story. I'm not really in touch with this zombie thing, so tell me what was going on with the zombies.
Good.
All right. And we welcome more phone calls. Adam Raymond is our guest. He is contributing writer for Mental Floss magazine. And we're talking about their cover story, which is about great hoaxes through history. And we're listening to your stories about great hoaxes as well. Before we go back to phone calls, tell us the pasta story. It's kind of sweet, Adam, isn't it? Are you there, Adam? Hello?
Hello.
Oh,
hello.
There you are. Hi. Tell us the pasta story, Adam.
Yes, the pasta story is one that really caught me by surprise, because it really hinged on people in England not really being familiar with spaghetti. And given the ubiquity of spaghetti today, I didn't realize there was a time when that was the case. But apparently it was. It was in 1957, and BBC show Panorama, which I believe was a very serious news program, they ran a piece about a Swiss town that was experiencing a robust spaghetti crop for the year. And they attributed that to warm spring and the disappearance of the awful spaghetti weevil. And people just believed it. And they called the BBC the next day asking how they could grow their own spaghetti. And the BBC told them that they should, the exact quote is, place a sprig of spaghetti in a tomato in tomato sauce and hope for the best. And the great thing about this, too, was that there was video, obviously, with the BBC show that had this idyllic Swiss mountain town and people picking pieces of spaghetti off a tree.
Oh, my, my. Don in Warren, Illinois. Hi, Don.
Hi. This goes back 50, 60 years since I read it. Your author probably knows about it. As I remember the story, the person had a telescope trained on Mars, and each day he would reveal what he was seeing on Mars. And what he was telling was that there were these naked human beings with wings, and they were flying around, and, of course, there was no photographs, but there was these artist sketches, and each day he would reveal a little more, and then he told about them copulating in midair, and it was crazy. do you remember that, or have you heard of it? This was real early.
So, some of those details sound familiar. Actually, there's a piece we have in the article that doesn't line up exactly with that, but it's from 1935.
The hoax on the moon.
1835.
Yeah.
Right. In 1835, the Sun, one of those early crazy New York City newspapers, they ran a six-day series called The Great Moon Hoax, and part of it was revealing all of the things that a scientist had found or had spotted on the moon, and one of them was winged humans. There were also beavers that walked up on 2 feet. And there were temples made out of sapphire, and just all of this outlandish stuff that ran as the truth in the newspaper.
Unicorns. There were beautiful pictures of unicorns, right?
Unicorns, yes. There were unicorns. There were unicorns, and a great thing about this story was that it was so popular, it resulted in so many newspaper sales for the paper that other newspapers around the world just started running it verbatim, hoping to increase their sales.
Oh, goodness. Too. Oh, goodness. When that happens, you got to say, what are people thinking? Come on.
So much for my memory.
Right. Thank you so much, unless you had something else, Don.
No, that's it.
All right, thanks. Yeah, thank you. Steve in Madison, hi.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are, Steve.
Okay, I just heard something. I just wanted to talk about a double hoax that took place in Madison, I think in the 70s, when involving a well-known local attorney named Eddie Elson, who was often doing sort of prank type of things. But there was a lot of notice in the news at that time about a comet that was going to come close to the Earth's orbit called Kohoutek.
Oh, sure.
And the press was full of it, and so Eddie decided he built some big banana-shaped structure in his backyard and sort of adopted some ancient Egyptian garb and created sort of a temple or a lot of news about Kohoutek and how it was going to create a new spiritual consciousness on the earth. And he caught enough attention that there was a national TV show at the time called Real People that was probably one of the first reality TV shows, and they would invite interesting real people from around the country to come and appear on the program. And apparently they invited Eddie and to talk about Kohoutek and his worship or his predictions and his activities in his backyard. And the upshot was that Eddie didn't go himself, but he sent a foreign student from the UW to go in his place, someone who looked very much like Eddie but didn't speak English very well, and went in his place unknown to the program, and apparently was discovered during the filming. And so he pulled a hoax on the real people, and I think he ended up getting sued for it.
But that
was Eddie Elson. So.
Oh, Eddie. Where is Eddie now? Do you know?
He's no longer with us.
Oh, Eddie, but you'll be remembered for a long time.
Oh, right? There are many stories, Eddie Elson stories in Madison.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for your call.
All right.
Yeah, thanks. Particularly, you write in the early 19th century, you got to wonder, although your stories indicate that this carries on into the 20th century, and you say that the rule hasn't totally sunk in yet, don't ply your readers with outright fabrications, but newspapers would. Is this true? Adam, routinely manufacture stories to sell more newspapers?
Sure, yeah, that was another thing that I was caught by surprise by. I guess the journalistic ethics were not quite as strong back then. But making up stories to sell newspapers, the one we highlight, the Great Moon Hoax, was very successful at this, but there are many others that didn't quite achieve the notoriety. They made up other stories about things happening in space or wherever, and often tricked readers, and the goal always to improve the bottom line.
Thanks, Steve, so much for your call. We have lines open. If you'd like to join the conversation, call quickly, 800-486-8655. Marilyn in Washburn. Hi, Marilyn.
Hey, hi, you guys.
All right.
I love the show, and thanks, Adam and Kathleen. The Pail and Shovel Ticket, I'm back to the Statue of Liberty in Lake Mendota, which was totally hysterical, and it came about from this group that was running for student council at UW, and they called themselves the Pail and Shovel Ticket, and they promised all these things. One of the things they promised was to bring the Statue of Liberty to UW-Madison, and they didn't, they reneged on that promise, and everybody's like, you never did this. And so they got this big barn of some sort and put together this humongous top of the Statue of Liberty, and it just appeared in one morning. Everybody wakes up and it's in the newspaper, and there are spotlights and the torches lit, and it was absolutely hysterical. And the other thing they did, one day everybody wakes up and there were 1,000 pink flamingos up on Bascom Hill. And if you guys ever go to get ice cream at the Union in Madison, you can buy postcards and the flamingos under the subtitle is, each year 1,000 flamingos migrate to Bascom Hill on their way somewhere. And I live up in Washburn now, and I was catching my papers and the Ashland Press. I'm looking at the Ashland Press, and it's like, it's got this big picture of this bridge they're going to build from Washburn to Ashland across the beautiful Shawamakan Bay. And it just was this amazing, realistic-looking picture with the headlines of building this bridge. And I'm just like, oh, no, oh, my God, no, we got to stop them. So I call this friend. I'm like, did you see this bridge that they're talking about building, even though it would be great to get over there sooner? And then my friend just let it go and kept, yes, that's terrible, Marilyn, we should start a committee. And it turned out it was an April Fool's newspaper. So we want the Shawamakan Bay to stay pure,
yes.
But they totally got me. So I just wanted to say thanks for helping me remember about the funny things that happened out at UW.
Thank you. And now it's got us all thinking about what can we do next, right?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that pink flamingo story. That's a great story.
Yeah, and you guys can get postcards. They still sell these postcards of these events at the Union little store. So
great.
Well, have fun.
Thank
Everybody
you.
Have
yeah.
fun.
Thank you. Thanks
Bye.
So much
thank
for
you.
The call. I think somebody needs to bring those flamingos back. Adam, thank you. You obviously had a rip-roaring good idea for your magazine cover.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Adam Raymond and the Mental Floss is the name of the magazine, which is always a highly entertaining magazine. The current issue has great hoaxes throughout history. No hoax here. This is the absolute truth. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Gene Kallenbach, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. We're here today to raise the money we need to pay for programs you enjoy, programs like this one. Every now and then we like a laugh. That's how WPR works. The people who help use it pay for it. So please go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to support the programs you count on.
Hey, thanks to everyone who helped us meet the generous match we had earlier this hour. We're still looking for 23 more pledges to meet this hour's goal. Be the next person to help us along with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoyed the conversation with Adam Raymond discussing the cover story from the current issue of Mental Floss magazine, and we sure enjoyed your phone calls, too. Please take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. And then make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledges have been coming in for $5 up to thousands of dollars. Maybe you're considering a pledge of $100 a month. Your $1,200 annual contribution would really help make this program possible. Your pledge is any amount is welcome. It's appreciated, and we'll help you set it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Most of us, of course, regardless of what we do, like to have our work noticed and appreciated. I hope that happens to you at least every other day. That's also true for this program, and it is true for WPR. Please show your support by pledging to Wisconsin Public Radio right now. And your pledge, in effect, says, thank you very much, and I would like more. Because you do want more, please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, we're going to go pledge-free after 1 o'clock this afternoon for the rest of the day. So you'll enjoy WPR's pledge-free moments, but to make pledge-free after possible, we count on you. We need to all pull together during these earlier hours. So your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps keep this pledge drive efficient.
During this winter pledge drive, in addition to supporting WPR, you can help feed people facing hunger in our state. Call now and pledge $120 or more to support your favorite radio programs and ask for Food for 40 as your thank you gift. Give at 888-202-2552 or give online at WPR.org.
Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. That Food for 40 program is a lovely idea, so this would be a good hour to pledge and help many people. WPR.org is the way to get a hold of us and make your pledge, or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Dean Kallenbach, and we're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Your pledge may be $5 a month, $100 a month, anything above, below, in between. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
We're hoping for 20 more pledges this hour. We're getting down there, but we're also running out of time this hour. We're at about 4.5 minutes left, so we're working on the goal. Help us make this hour an even bigger success with your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving really takes just a couple minutes of your time. You tell us your name, contact information, how much you would like to give, how you'd like to pay. Consider using your credit card because it saves time and postage and paper and puts your money to work right away. But no matter how you choose to give or how much, take the next two minutes to make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are many ways of saying make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Believe me, we've tried them all and we'll keep trying them. We can say make your voice heard. Stand up and be counted. Vote with your wallet. And you can do any of these things right now by making your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have 20 more pledges to go and just a couple minutes to receive them, so help out now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Not a sustainer already? Great time to become one. It's easy to set up the ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get those points on your credit card. Why not? At WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A sustaining membership. It's convenient for you, saves us money, and provides reliable funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
And just a reminder, when you give $120, which is $10 a month, you're helping us. You can also get our Food for 40 thank you gift and provide meals to those who are facing hunger in your area. It's a great way to do two good things at once with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Deborah from Green Bay, who commented that whatever happens to us, WPR is there each day to give us vision for our future. That's profound.
Yeah.
And it reminds us, as every membership drive reminds us, Kathleen, of the importance of this service. I mean, it's so exciting to see these pledges coming in and knowing that the work that you do each day, the work that your producers do each day is such a valued thing. Give your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support this service that's so important every day.
And we never got to the zombie story, so we'll have to do it. We'll put it on our Facebook page, okay? Can you tell us that we're adding to the hoaxes of this hour by telling you the hoax about the zombies? And go to the Kathleen Dunn Show for that. All right, pledge, please, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. Dean, thank you very much.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you with us. And thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Katie Mattson, who produced this program. Thanks for your pledges, everybody. We get there step by step by step, and it's important that you pledge to the radio station that's very important to you. Again, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much. Great conversations ahead.